Hello, this is Notes from a Native Daughter, episode 10. I am Sol Danela, and my guest is Paola Lazaro, and this is a Spanglish podcast. Paola Lazaro is a young, beautiful, and tenacious a writer, dramaturg, playwright, actor, performer, Puerto Ricana, and she's friends of a family of mine, and it's perhaps one of the reasons she's here, but I also met her a couple of years ago, very fleetingly, and I never forgot her, and then it turns out that she's friends of this friend, and I was like, I gotta talk to her, because she's doing some really cool stuff, and I want, you know, people to know what you're doing. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm excited to be here, and I'm really honored that you asked. Like, I don't usually like do stuff like this, so I was like nervous and honored, and I'm still a little nervous, but I'm really excited to be here.
I'm glad. Don't be nervous.
Okay, I'll chill.
Yeah,
I'll chill.
I'm a really good person.
I know. You wouldn't be friends with Rosal if you weren't, because
she's good people.
Yeah, and her family.
Yeah, absolutely. We love them. That's the tribe we share.
Yes.
Paola and I. Colón, Rolón, Clan, Despier. No. Colón, Despier, Rolón, Clan.
The Pregones people.
Pregones Theater, PRTT. Shout out.
Beautiful family.
Yeah. Yeah. Pero, óyeme, you went to Morocco.
I was in Morocco for 2 weeks this summer. I went as playwright in residence as part of the Sundance Theater Lab. And it was, I went there with this play I wrote. How you doing? I don't know. I applied to it, and I didn't finish the application, actually, when I first applied. And then I got an email, and they were like, oh, you should finish it. So I was like, okay, I'm going to finish it. And I submitted this play that I wrote. It's called Tell Hector I Miss Him. And it's a 12-character play, and it takes place in La Perla, in a slum in Old San Juan. And I submitted that, and they liked it, and, you know, I got in, and I went to Morocco for 2 weeks to work on the play.
And how was it? Where did you go? Did you land in Casablanca?
Yes.
Yes, I love that I did that once.
Yeah,
it's so cool.
I landed in Casablanca, and then we took an hour flight to Marrakesh, and then where we stayed was like a half hour from Marrakesh. And it was this beautiful, you could call it like a resort, but it's like more like an artist, like retreat type of place. And it was absolutely incredible. And the people in Morocco are very dear to my heart now.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful.
They drink tea and they talk and like, they're just so welcoming. I went to like this random people's house and like, and I had tea with their whole family, and it was, I don't know, I wasn't used to that. It was beautiful. So that was my experience in Morocco.
So what did you do in the workshop? Like, how was it? You woke up at 6, there was, like, meditation, or there was, like
no,
like, how did it break down?
My part of it wasn't scheduled. So basically, I could work on my play whenever I wanted. And then, so during the day, I would just spend time with people from all over the world that were part of the theater program, like refugees. There are people from Iraq. There's people from Lebanon, there's people from Beirut, from everywhere that I met, and it just restated in me, if that's the word, I don't know. It just
reaffirmed.
Yes, the fact that we're all just people.
Right.
And then at the same time, that broke my heart because of everything that's going on in the world.
Yeah.
And it's like we can't understand that we're all literally, like, it's just people. And you know, I made friends with people who I didn't have a language in common with, you know? My friend Saeed, like, we never understood what either of us were saying, but we had a blast all the time. We were always laughing and, like, doing, like, silly things, like, dancing. And, yeah, it's just people are people. And it's so sad that we don't understand that anymore. Or that did we ever, you know?
I know.
Do you think?
It's a profound question, but I feel like you, that I understand that humanist appearance, you know, when you see the human in us, in others, when you travel, it's It's such an amazing moment. I love that. And
it's crazy.
And it does break my heart. And it has brought me to tears more than once, you yeah. know, to see the... It's so fickle, and then we're so cruel, and so much hatred. Oh, God.
And the borders, and when I left Morocco, I cried so much. I don't think I've ever... It was because I might never see these people again. Because some of them are, like, people who had to leave their countries because of wars. And there was actually this woman, she was writing a piece about... It was like a play, and it was five women at a funeral for their husbands who died in the war.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it was in Arabic, but I watched it and I just cried so much. And I had no idea what these people were saying, but I knew the essence of the story. And like, and it was just, you know, and it's crazy that there's borders and there's passports and all these things that keep us like separated. It's a shame. It really is a shame. Because it's... I don't even know.
It's everybody's land now, as I see it.
Yeah.
You know, because the earth has been so raped and pillaged and... All the, you know, conquest and colonialism. It's mm-hmm. like, it's made every... This earth is everybody's earth. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, everybody... You know, the big powers, you know, they've taken the lands from everyone. So everyone, this is everybody's land. Everybody yeah. can go everywhere.
Yeah. And we have just separated and built all these walls and, you know, metaphorically and like literally, you yeah. know, we build walls to separate ourselves and rules that are, you know, I don't know. It's just, I don't understand it. But yeah, it just...
Do you write about this in your plays?
Do I write? No.
What do you write about? What are your plays about? Like, most of your plays? Or do you have a thread line? Or is this play that was chosen for the Sundance Theater Lab? What was it about?
So Hector, I Miss Him was... I wrote it... Maybe what it's about is why I wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote it because when I went, I grew up in the suburbs in Puerto Rico, and then, you know, I went to like an all-girls Catholic school and all this shit, and it was great, but I always felt like out of place. And then this one girl brought me to La Perla, and you know, I had heard all these songs about it, and I'm like, no, I can't go. And you know, my parents, everybody's like, no, don't go. And she was like, we gotta go. And I was like, no, I'm not gonna lie to my mom. And I don't like lying to my mom. And she said, no, let's go. So finally I lied to my mom and I went, and it changed my life. It was the first time I ever felt comfortable, I think, in my skin. For some reason was in the middle of this place where everybody's like doing like, you know, their different drugs and whatever, like, not like super hard stuff necessarily. I mean, yes.
Whatever. But, substance abuse. Yes. Substance use.
Use, yeah.
Substance use.
But together in this like plaza, mm-hmm. and I just, for some reason, I felt so at home, and everybody said buenos dias, and everybody's like so nice. And then I fell in love with like the most beautiful girl there. but she was 20. Aww. She was 26 and I was 17 years old.
And did she love you back?
Yeah. She did.
Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah, she did. She did. I was like this chubby, like awkward, like kid that spoke, like talked too much and like was always thinking too much and like writing poetry. And I just...
It changed your life going to La Perla. You fell in love.
Yeah. Yeah, it changed my life. And I realized what community was.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And then there was something about that that's always stayed with me. And even when I go there now, I'm just like, yes. I don't know why. I just feel so comfortable there. So when I was figuring out what to write, I was like, I want to write about this place that has its own rules,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
Because it does. So the play is about 12 people, some who live there. It's not, it's fictional. It's like, it's not like a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
But some who live there and some who come visit. And, it's about faulty concepts of love, but eso, ¿cómo se dice?
I mean,
como,
you're saying faulty concepts of love as if they're, people have strange expectations about love?
Yeah, but it's
like expectations that are not achievable?
Yeah, like specific concepts, you know, like of what I grew up with as love, that is not necessarily love to other people, but there is love in it, even though it's like
fucked up.
Yeah, even though it's fucked up, and there's love, you know, and trying to see through that, even though it's like you have to like get away from it sometimes. But yeah, I wanted to write about that, and I wanted to write about Jíbaro culture coming up against the technology of nowadays, and of a man who just doesn't understand this technology thing, and of, you know, a relationship that's going, it's like 12 people, so
it's thick.
Yeah, but I also,
so it's about love, it's about learning about mistakes of that you make.
Yeah, and addictions.
Mm-hmm.
It's also like about women. There's like a whole scene where like three women show each other their pussies.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not sexual, it's mm-hmm. It's like a type of praising. Yeah, they're praising each other because yeah,
okay,
because nobody ever has, you know,
right?
And so it's like very like
deep,
yeah, and sexual and intense, and intimate. Some people call it like gross because it's like, you know, apparently, like, this lady that came to see a reading of it, part of the reason why I got into the Sundance thing was because the literary manager comes up to me, she's like, do you want to know how you got in? And I was like, do I? I don't know, I'm here, so let's leave it at that. And I was like, yeah, tell me. And she's like, I went to see a play, and this older lady was sitting next to me, and she goes to me, and she's like, I just saw the most disgusting play this week. And Ignacia, who's the literary manager, was like, oh my God, what play? And she's like, it was disgusting. It was so sexual and rude and wow, it was just terrible. And obviously Ignacia like gets more excited. She's like, oh, it's disgusting and all this thing. And yeah, and it was my play. So yeah, so it's intense for some people. It's a little much for some people to handle. But
it's the way it is.
Yeah, and it's
it's your voice and it's your story,
and a lot of people have understood it. You know, it's very to me, it's very Puerto Rico, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
¿por qué?
Because of where it takes place, and there's a lot of Spanish in it too that I don't even translate, you know, like not like a whole chunk, but like, you know, it's a lot of references to like music in Puerto Rico, and you know, the name of the play is Tell Hector I Miss Him, and it's Hector Lavoe. But they talk about it, but it's not like a big thing in it. But yeah, it's like very, very specific to.
And so is it gonna be put up somewhere? Yeah.
It's gonna be up at the Atlantic Theater, right, at the their stage two.
That's awesome. So you're gonna get a Spanglish cast?
Yeah, I'm getting, yeah. Our mutual friend Rosal has been reading in it, and she plays the hottest girl in the slum.
Yeah.
She plays the most beautiful woman in the slum, and she's fantastic in it. Rosal is fantastic in it.
That's so funny. That's so great.
Yeah.
And when are the dates of this show?
We don't have specific dates yet, but it's coming up in January.
Okay.
Should be so the opening.
And soon, yeah. Oh
yeah.
Wow!
I'm excited and I'm nervous, but
that's such an honor because you did receive this other fellowship
with yeah.
Atlantic, right?
Yeah, that's how it's happening.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
They give you a production and they give you a salary for the year to write. So that's this foundation made this possible, and it's incredible because it's like a family, like the Tao family. I think they call it. It's like a family, and they it read my crazy, disgusting play, you know, and responded to it. So, yeah, so that's coming up in January, and I'm super thankful. Super thankful.
It's the Toe Foundation Grant.
Yes.
That's great.
The Toe Foundation Grant, yeah.
And so how long have you been in the city now, Paola?
I left Puerto Rico when I was 17,
mm-hmm.
after high school, and I moved to SUNY Purchase. So mm-hmm. I've been in New York 10 years. This is my 10th anniversary.
Wow.
This summer is my 10th anniversary. And
no spring chicken anymore.
I know. I think, am I New Yorkan?
I don't know.
I always wonder that.
I think it's something you should self-define, self-decide, not for me to...
Yeah.
Not for me to say.
But I love New York, and I love the community that I have found here, and I love that there's so much Puerto Rican legacy here. I really appreciate that a lot.
En una segunda casa.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. How long have you been in the city? Well, you grew up here, right?
No, well, I became an adult. I've been here 26 years.
26 years. Where'd you grow up?
In Puerto Rico.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
In Puerto Rico, yo soy de condado específicamente.
Oh, nice. That's a dream. That's an absolute dream. So your family still live there?
My family still lives there. And I go quite often. And, it's an important piece of my heart.
Puerto Rico.
Mi alma... Vive en dos mundos.
Yeah, absolutely. Always.
You know?
That will always be the case, I think.
So when did you discover that you liked to write or that you were going to be an artist?
Well, I was always writing when I was a kid. I wrote poetry since I was like, that's one of the first things I remember like actually like doing. Apart from like playing around and shit, but I used to write poetry about God, which is ridiculous because nowadays I don't even know if I believe in God or whatever. I don't know what I believe in, but it was like a brainwash. Not a brainwash, I guess. Yeah, it was Catholic culture, but the concept of me writing about the concept of God as a kid was like a friend that I didn't have. So I guess it's like finding my La Perla in like, I'm trying to like figure this out, but like it was like that friend that I didn't have, you know, and I think that's why I wrote about God a lot when I was a kid. And then my mom used to make me perform it in front of the family, not make me, but you know, perform it in front of the family when they come to dinner and stuff like that. So that's how I started like doing stuff like that.
And you liked it?
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun.
You're a little ham?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and the family responded to it. And
I can see it.
And it was fun. It was really fun. And I'm glad my mom, you know, had the thought of like, oh, you should read it. So I'm very thankful for her. I'm obsessed with my mother.
She got you into public speaking.
That's true. And I used to go, she was studying... Relaciones Públicas.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, in Sagrado, in Puerto Rico, and I would go to class with her when I was like 4 or something like that. And I just remember that, I don't know why, but I would go to class with her and like sit in, and I don't know why, I just remember
absorb
that.
Absorb it somehow.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, my mom's a beautiful.
So you were a little old child.
A little bit, yeah. And I used to sing a lot and perform for, like, cashiers at stores and stuff like that while she was, like, buying stuff. I would, like, sing Joan Manuel Serrat songs because
mm-hmm.
my mom was really into Serrat when we were growing up, you know. So all of that is, like, memories of... And now that reminds me of Glenn Monroy. Do you remember Glenn Monroy?
Of course.
Yeah, wow. My dad listening to that. Do you remember Elan Chester?
Elan Chester, no.
No. It was that guy, Elan Chester. Anyway, so yeah, it was, yeah.
So what else are you doing these days? Are you working with The Atlantic? You are a playwright in residence. What else are you doing?
I'm now I have like an agent and a manager for acting and TV writing and playwriting. So I'm like auditioning a bunch for TV and film. And I just shot two movies this summer.
Mm-hmm.
One where I played an undercover cop and one where I played a prostitute. Uh-huh. As life would have it.
Wow.
One day you do this, one day you do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were really cool experiences, actually.
Of course. In the land of make-believe.
Yeah, absolutely. It was fun to play a cop, actually. And it was fun to play a prostitute because I got to wear clothes like that I never, not even think of, like, it's not me at all. So it was really fun to, like, let go of, like, body image bullshit, because when you're playing a character, you can't care about that, because guess what, your character probably doesn't give a fuck about what they look like. You know, she's a prostitute, she looks good, she has to sell herself. So it was really interesting. Oh my God, it was really interesting to do that. And the house where we shot the movie at, the apartment, was in the Bronx or Brooklyn? I'm trying to figure it out. It was in the Bronx. And it was the woman who lived, the movie's about a female pimp, right? And the woman who lives in the house is Puerto Rican and was actually a female pimp back in the day in the Bronx. And it's crazy that we went to shoot at that house. She's like, yeah, I used to like, como se dice, tricks from the house. Like, she used to like pimp women out from the house. And it was crazy. And the way she was talking about it. And then she showed me this YouTube video of her like slam poetry. I don't know. It was really interesting. It's been a crazy summer. Been a crazy summer.
But you're living the dream.
Yeah, I am. I'm now trying to like take care of myself and stuff like that.
Like, do exercise and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. All that stuff because I have to.
Are they asking you to go skinny or something?
No. They've when I went in, they were like, "Oh, cool. Like, this is who you are and that's it." It's not that. It's like I just want to be healthy and I want to like feel more comfortable and
yeah. I get it.
You know, it's like I love myself, but I want to like.
It sounded as if you hadn't been doing that.
Not as hard as I'm doing it now.
Okay.
Like not at all. Like.
Okay. No problem. No judgment.
Yeah, I've been. It's good to take care of oneself, and it really helps me mentally to do exercise, because if it's therapy, it's like free therapy.
So, what's the scariest part about going to the auditions?
You know what? That's crazy. My accent gets in the way sometimes, and it's like. Oh, because I'm there, and then blah, 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 blah. And usually they're cool about it, but that has been making me nervous lately, because I'll like have like good English, and then all of a sudden like instead of saying like sit, I'll say seat, or like stuff just gets in the way, so that makes me nervous. Pero pal carajo, like that's me. And you're not going to get, you know, I can try to, like, do, like, an American accent, but
you
yeah.
You are who you are.
Yeah. That's a scary part, but
scary because you feel that you didn't do it well enough, or?
No, because I just stumble with it.
Yeah. I see.
But recently a casting director was like, so I said my line, and he, like, pauses the tape, and he goes, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, what?
Oh, how
rude. Yeah, he's like, you're mumbling. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, it's my accent. And he's like, and then he was super cool about it. He's like, no, don't worry about it. If you want, we can change the word. or you can, or we can practice it before we retape it. So then we redid it, and that was really sweet of him. But I don't like, don't change the word. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna figure it out. But yeah, that's one of the scariest parts for some reason. But I've lost the fear of it recently, because at first I was like, I would come in with my head down, and I'm like, oh, these people are better than me. These people are, you know, I'm this fucking hick. You know, when I say hick, I mean like Hibara, you know. I'm like, I'm this fucking kid who don't know shit. And like, all these people know everything. And I'm, why aren't I serving these people right now? Why aren't I cleaning this table? You know, it's like weird thoughts like that. And that's ridiculous, because I shouldn't have to feel like that. But I've been letting that go. And now I just come in on myself. I curse and I'm like, this is me, you know. And I think that goes, it goes a lot better when I'm just myself, because they can see my energy, and that's what it's about.
It's so cool. So do you feel courageous after each day that you do that?
I think I do. I believe I do. And thank you for noting that, because I hadn't, como que, I hadn't thought about that. That's very true.
Yeah,
coño, gracias. Thank you. Wow.
It takes a lot of courage.
Yeah. I mean, you've auditioned too. Like,
of course. I did it for years. I don't do it anymore, but...
How was it for you?
I really got to get better at it towards the end, when I kind of almost left, where I was kind of... I got to, like, that place where, you know, I remember going to this dance audition, and I killed it.
Yes.
I did this, like, thing in, like, this flamenco sexy shit that I did, and it was, like... The guy was, like... Oh my god. What was funny was that he was like, I can't hire you.
He said, why? Because of the dance? It was too much?
Because he was like, this is for like a, you should get like a theater or something. And I was like, oh.
So you didn't get the job?
I didn't get the job.
Even though you blew them away.
Yeah.
Wow. So towards the end, you started getting more.
And I like you, like at the beginning, it was, you know, I was terrified. I was terrified at the beginning when I started, you know, when I got out of college and I started to audition. But I had already been auditioning. Well, it's just that I, you know, I kind of like overlap between dance and theater, and dance is different for me, mm-hmm. in terms of auditioning. I felt a lot more confident in the studio dance realm auditioning than I did in the acting audition.
Gotcha.
You understand?
Yep.
But after like I want to say maybe a year and a half, I think I was doing good. I mean, I was getting callbacks and things like that. And yeah, I mean, I kind of just went like, not blasé, but not like being too concerned about it. Just kind of deliver the job and get out.
Do my work and present. It's a chance to show my work, too.
Exactly.
That's what I try to think about. It's like, do you think, and we don't have to talk about this, but do you think that being Latina or being Puerto Rican, like, had to do with how you came into the auditions? When you were, for me, there's, like, something in me that was like, I'm not welcome. I shouldn't be here. Like, I don't belong here.
No, I didn't get that. I didn't get that.
That's crazy. I don't know why.
I didn't get that. I no, I mean, they, I was there because they needed Latina or brown people or black people, you know, African American people, whatever.
True.
They needed us, you know, the others.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, but I never felt that I didn't belong there. I belonged there as much as anybody.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, for some reason, I started with that, and I was like, I'm not worthy of this, and these people think I'm a fucking idiot, and... But then I let all that shit go. Yeah. Oh my god.
I know.
And I was ready to say, mande, like, what do you need? What do you?
Right.
And I was just like, but I let all of that go. I was like, no, I have earned my spot and where I'm at. I worked hard. I learned English, like, I'm here, I can do this, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad you are.
Thank you.
I'm so glad that you belong to this, you know, I guess one generation younger than me, maybe?
I think so.
By 10 years or so?
Yeah.
And I really love, you know, what's sort of brewing with a lot of your colleagues, you know?
Yeah, a lot of movement going on.
A lot of movement, and it's really exciting, and I love it because, you know, it's like you're like a whole, you know, you're a good, really good people. It's a good cohort. At least the ones I know, of course, I know it's, you know, a lot of people, but I know enough of you, and
I mean, including the event we went to, we met at
Compromisos.
It was a really positive
event. Yeah,
those are girls that I went to high school with. These brilliant women, like brilliant women. These women are, you know, and I think a lot of young people in Puerto Rico are trying to do a lot of good things in art, in agriculture. Like, there's a huge movement now. And it started, I believe it started small, of like locally grown foods, because it's ridiculous. We live in an island where like everything grows, you know? I mean, not everything, but we should have been working on that.
The past is the past, and we have the present. And I think there's a lot that is really wonderful that is happening within the tragic circumstance of Promesa and, you know, that bullshit. And I think this is just kind of beginning to hatch. And you know, we're a part of it, and, you know, that's, you know, we talk, and but I think that there are a lot of great people doing great things here and there, and it's really great to see, you know, how this is going to shape up. And I think you're right. I mean, I see them, you know,
all the,
you know, there's a incredible artists in La Isla,
like really, really talented
haciendo
people.
Proyectos and,
I mean, the murals and the building that's in Rio Piedras, like, that is.
La lucha es bella. Y a lot of people, and yeah, man, I'm proud. And
It's a beautiful place. There's a lot of anger and pain, too, I believe. There's a lot of pain.
Of course.
And there's a lot of pain, and there's a lot of drugs. And that's just the reality of it. That's just... And it's sad. But, I try not to...
But yeah. Here, bueno, Paola, I want to thank you for coming to meet and have this little talk and connect. I'm really proud of you. I'm really proud about what you're doing. Continue to write about Puerto Rico. Continue to write and live the dream.
Absolutely. I'm really thankful to be here. Coming here, I was so nervous. And just being here, again, has the same thing that happened in Morocco. It just makes me realize people are just people, and that it's okay to sit down and talk. And I've been really anxious lately, and I feel like I have to be doing something all the time. And I feel relaxed for the first time in a really long time. I feel like I just had a great time, and I lived in the moment.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, so I really appreciate that. So.
Cool.
It'll stay with me.
All right. Well, we'll continue to talk, and when your play is close to open, we'll get back to talking, and we'll talk about the rehearsal process.
Oh, my
and
God.
Talk about the play, you know, as it nears.
Yes, absolutely.
So, first the playwright, then the play.
That's right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, son.
Notes from a Native Daughter, Soldanela, signing out. Episode 10 con Paola Lázaro. Bye. Thank you for listening to Notes from a Native Daughter. You can find me on SoundCloud, iTunes, or Stitcher.